Welcome to NGA Notable Lectures, a podcast offering a deeper understanding of all things artistic. Artworks representing animals, real or imaginary, religious or secular, span the full breadth and splendor of Japanese artistic production. As the first exhibition devoted to the subject, The Life of Animals in Japanese Art covers 17 centuries, from the 5th century to the present day, and a wide variety of media. At the symposium, held on June 7, 2019, in conjunction with the exhibition, Miwako Tezuka discussed how the relationship between animals and humans has changed since the pre-modern era in Japan. Tezuka examines select contemporary artworks and fashion designs from the exhibition and described uniquely contemporary approaches to animals, or in Japanese, dobutsu, things that move.
Kusama Yayoi's polka-dotted dogs, Nawakohe's taxidermy deer, Nara Yoshitomo's angry half-cat, half-child, and Team Lab's ever-moving animals. Animals inhabit in contemporary Japanese art just as vitally as they do in traditional Japanese art. In today's Japan, you find many people living with pets, pet animals, and all sorts. And also for those who are living in tiny, tiny apartments, there are many establishments like cat cafes and owl cafes, which provide them for a brief moment of cuddling time with those cute, cute creatures. Even in an urban environment, there seem to be no shortage of those friendly creatures. In the pre-modern period, the international trade network was still rather limited, and exotic animals remained rare and scarce despite their popularity among curious Japanese, and that's why they have been depicted in artworks many, many times. Since then, the range of species for daily companionship has broadened greatly. Also, with the influence of the moral code enhanced by the animal rights movement, especially after the 1970s, people elevated the status of animals, or more accurately, they reevaluated the existence of sentient beings vis-a-vis human beings, and cruelty against animals is, of course, today a punishable offense. With these changes in mind, in this talk, I would like to consider a question. What are the roles and significances of animal themes in contemporary Japanese art? Are there uniquely contemporary approaches? And I will give a closer look at some of the contemporary artworks on view in this wonderful exhibition, and also at some works which are not on view that may be relevant to this examination. One of the most popular artists from Japan today, Nara Yoshitomo, is known for his paintings and sculptures of children and animals depicted most often in isolation. In his early paintings, they express anger or frustration on their faces. Harmless Kitty from 1994 is one example that shows a little child in a kitten-shaped bodysuit, turning its head toward us and glaring at us while sitting on a duck-shaped potty. The entire situation is quite comical at first glance, triggering our imagination. Whoa, do we step into a room at his most private moment answering the call of nature? And obviously, he is very much disturbed. But the painting's totally blank background leads our imagination to go beyond the realm of such everyday situations. The rebellious attitude that this child carries reminds us of an outlaw on a motorcycle in Japan. They are called bosozoku, meaning motorcycle gangs. His eyes say to us, "Leave me alone or I will hurt you." In this sense, the title, Harmless Kitty, becomes an ironic characterization of this sitter. Nonetheless, as he is heading towards the direction away from us, it is implied that if left alone, he will not cause any harm. The portrait is not of any recognizable individual, as with the most cases in Nara's paintings. All human physical features are simplified, as seen in the shapes of his eyes, nose, mouth, his hands and legs. The image becomes an icon, which is less about descriptive individual uniqueness, but more about the attitude, and perhaps more generally, about the primordial territorial instinct, like of an animal, for protecting oneself. In the sense of visualizing a territorial division, Nara's kitty shares a lot with Moriyama Daido's stray dog. Taken on the streets of Misawa, near a U.S. Air Force base in Aomori Prefecture in northern Japan, this grainy photograph captures the moment of this tense encounter between two creatures, the dog and the photographer, and by extension, us, the viewers. The animal is witnessed up close in high contrast, black and white, and it seems to be standing guard at a threshold of some mysterious territory that humans are not supposed to cross. The dog has a hint of craziness, like some mysterious spirit has possessed it. The difference between this image and Nara's painting is that the guarded space in this picture appears to be not just the dog's own world, but also the space beyond it, while Nara's kitty protects its own, more internal space. In the case of stray dog, the temporal and geographical context of the post-war era of the 1970s on one hand, and the proximity of the location to a U.S. Air Force base on the other, may expand the possible meaning of the territory. The dog, then, functions like an index finger that points to the larger geopolitical world of the time, just after the 1970 renewal of the U.S.-Japan Security Treaty and the beginning of the ambiguous end to the Vietnam War. But we must also remember that the genius of Moriyama Daido derives from conflating such a political power of image making with his fascination about intrinsic beauty in outsiders and underworlds. Through his lens, his subjects on the street, in theaters, from folk and popular cultures of Japan, become the potential element of subversion. If Daido's photograph is a record of the complexities in the reality of Japan's socio-political environment at that time, Misawa Atsuhiko's series, Animals, gives us an opportunity to think about how we recompose the reality in the process of understanding the world. Since 2000, Misawa has been carving comfort tree into shapes of various animals, like a cat, as you see on the screen, dogs, monkeys, birds, elephants, lions, and so on. He makes them roughly life-size, but the lifelike aspect ends there. Misawa does not base his work on direct studies from nature. Instead, he gathers information from pictures in encyclopedias of animals. He chisels into the wood until just enough state in which he feels all essences of that model animal is settled in the material. He then paints the surface with oil paint, again just enough amount of coloring and shading that he deems sufficient to communicate to the viewer what it is that he has produced. The result is an edited version of nature's creation that still answers our expectation of what that animal is. The unsettling moment comes when, in an installation, we see them out of the context, like in a sterile gallery space, as you see here on the screen. The artist, the manner of installation is essential. He first received critical and popular attention during the exhibition Nara Yoshitomo organized together with design collective Graph in 2006 in Nara's hometown of Hirosaki City in Aomori Prefecture. The exhibition presented a series of large house-shaped installations, one of which memorably housed a life-size giraffe by Misawa, with its head sticking out from a hole piercing from the ground floor to the upper level. And unfortunately, I couldn't find the picture of that installation image, so here is a comparative one. This is another work from 2007 from collaboration between Misawa and Graf, which took place in Hiratsuka City in Kanagawa Prefecture. Even in the unnatural situation, Misawa's beasts are always faithful and agreeable to the way we tame or systematize nature. Zoological knowledge found in encyclopedias is also the tool of organizing and systematizing nature, giving an order from the human perspective. One artist who lets go of such human desire for an order, to my eye, is Kusama Yayoi. From the very beginning of her career, even moving as far back as the mid-1950s, there has always been something unruly and organic about her art. It is often explained that her psychologically unsettled childhood, accompanied with hallucinatory experiences, drove her to start painting images covered with net patterns and dots. Most visceral reaction I myself had in viewing her work was at the 2004 exhibition entitled Kusa Matrix at Tokyo's Mori Art Museum. In that installation, Hi, konnichiwa. Hello. It consisted of a handful of slightly larger than life-size statues of girls and accompanying dogs and flowers in a space where the ceiling and walls were filled with what seemed like cutouts of Kusama's colorful and cartoonish figure drawings, where Kusama's signature polka dots and protrusions were not invading. There were those small floating figures, more colorful than a rainbow. The floor of this canophobic space was dried grass, turning the room into an imaginary pasture filled with the smell of nature in spring and summer, the seasons of rebirth and growth. It was by far Kusama's robust and most immersive incorporation of the nature world to her art, and it was like a proclamation of the return of the nature's vital power to the artist. Otherwise, stiff-legged dogs were also exuberantly shown in their barking poses, just as they are in this exhibition. The urge to erase the border between the figure and the ground is indeed consistent throughout her career. Back in 1967, when performing a happening titled Horseplay in Woodstock, New York, a rare occasion where Kusama actually included a live animal in her work, she said, quote, "Polka dots can't stay alone. When we obliterate nature and our bodies with polka dots, we become part of the unity of our environments." End of quote. In this happening, The horse played the role of the medium between nature and humankind. Her psychosomatic vision of the undifferentiated world uniquely commingled in the 1960s with the rise of psychedelia, countercultures, and various liberal movements. Kusama was, at the time, exploring numerous avenues of expression, including fashion, establishing a company called Kusama Fashion Corporation Limited. Her squid dress is an example from 1968, in which she takes an inspiration from the sensual fluidity of the cephalopod and exposes women's breasts, hips, and legs, in a way liberating female body from the socially imposed dress codes. Her enterprise, which mass-produced Kusama fashion and sold it through over 400 boutiques and department stores in the United States, was also a challenge against the division between art and fashion. Just as Kusama's squid dress made the female body into the statement of unfettered freedom, another border-crossing creative was making his way to New York. Having witnessed the Paris riots of 1968, Miyake Ise, or as he is known, Ise Miyake in his brand name, arrived in New York City the following year, 1969. He returned to Japan in 1970, but his cosmopolitan education and experiences gave him a fresh perspective into Japanese arts, culture, and traditions, and provided the basis for his creative vision that unified aesthetic of East and experimentalism of West. His design of cocoon coat from 1976 shows his examination of process of metamorphosis and transformation, which he then transports to human body in the language of fashion. Transformative playfulness found in various creatures in nature recurs in his design and is expressed most distinctively in a series of animal-inspired pleats dresses on view in the exhibition. In this and in many other designs by Ise, transformation and movement hold primary importance. In the Ise design, upon the core concept of one piece of cloth is applied a variety of simple yet fundamental methods that activate transformation and movement, for example, folding, opening, layering, and so forth. With his experimentation and development of new garment pleating technique using a heat press process, the fabric became a material of spatial construction that remains flexible. Marrying this new material with the forms found in animals and nature, Ise redefined the meaning of dobutsu, animals in Japanese, which literally written out as things that move. Ise's spring-summer 2018 collection at the Grand Palais in Paris presented this continuing evolution in the paradigm shift in fashion. So Miyamae Yoshiyuki, the current head of the women's collection at Ise, created the show with an inspiration from his travel to Iceland and its robust natural environment. But there are a couple of other nature-related images that resonate with the design, particularly highlighted in this opening performance. The first image, recalling the past, is the classic Japanese design pattern of chidori, plover, over waves of water, or similar designs based on a flock of small birds in flight, such as seen on this kosode-type kimono from the Edo period in the exhibition. In the Issei fabric, the pattern looks highly stylized, and the bars take on a kind of clean geometry, kind of looking like origami cranes. And the second image association is triggered by the Issei design in motion. The shape-shifting dress itself seems to echo magnificent fluid forms created by swarm intelligence. By following simple rules as a group, simple creatures can create behaviors of great complexity, strength, and beauty. For example, a flock of birds comes under attack by a predatory large bird. A small change in the flight course of a single bird in the group can cause other members to behave differently, and it becomes an effective defensive move against the predator. There is no one big brain making decisions in swarm intelligence. Recognizing beauty in this type of intelligence as organically created by small contributions of many individual creatures encourages us to shift our focus away from the human-centric worldview. In some cases, contemporary artists are testing this cognitive potential through their work. An example can be seen in the work by an artist collective called Three. Formed in 2009, Three consists of three artists who remain anonymous most of the time. We know that they are all born in 1986 in Fukushima Prefecture, and they create a series of sculptures, installations, and video art that incorporate images and objects sourced from subcultures of anime and manga. Three's primary material is plastic figures that represent anime and video characters. However, they are also known for another series of installations made of fish-shaped soy sauce containers, which you see up here. One of the largest of this series is called Tokyo Binary. At size 27 foot wide and 9 foot high, the giant wavy wall is covered with approximately 90,000 fish form soy sauce containers with colored water inside. The mundane objects found in bento boxes are usually discarded after use nonchalantly and easily forgotten. But in this work, these tiny fish come alive as if they are playing the role of vibrant brushstrokes. The Tokyo Binary was a participatory project where Three, the group, invited general public to take part in placing the fish onto the wall. The simple instruction to add a container to the pre-perforated wall was followed by each visitor. Every single one of the containers was put to the work by participating general public, and one person's decision to put a certain color at a certain spot affected the next person's behavior. Like in the case of swarm intelligence seen in a school of fish. In some parts, without anyone giving a directive, there appeared rainbow-like bands of colors or star-like spots of bright yellow. Each color, each fish, each person is part of the larger whole, creating subtle balance between chaos and order. The objective of the artwork is as much an aesthetic fulfillment as an impact on rethinking the relationship between humans and nature, and between people, among people. From the Japanese perspective, becoming part of this organic growth of decentralized creation, of multiplicity of life-giving force, is in alignment with the compassion for all sentient beings taught through Buddhism and animistic belief of Shinto. Today, such eco-consciousness is embraced globally in the ethos of deep ecology movement, which began in the early 1970s in the West with much influence from Eastern philosophies. It is absolutely fascinating to observe this kind of the trans-historical conflation of the Eastern and Western thoughts as the rise of the holistic worldview. It is even more exciting to see it reflected in art creation. When we consider, for example, the work of the Tokyo-based ultra-technologist group, Team Lab, it is as though they are channeling the fundamentally ecosophical tradition of Japan, calling attention to humankind's consequential relationship to other creatures and their habitats. In all of their digital interactive works, utilizing motion sensors and mathematical algorithms that together create complex visual or physical movements in their presentations, their principal aim, beyond providing joyful experiences, is to encourage the audience to recognize how their actions create reactions not only in the artwork, but also in behaviors of other members of the audience. The work, such as United, Fragmented, Repeated, and Impermanent World, is interactive in this manner. And when you view this work, it certainly makes you pay more attention to the movement of the visitors viewing the work. Team Lab's motif of real and fantastical animals in this work is based on the mid-Edo period 18th century painting by Ito Jakuchu, the eccentric painter of the time who occasionally used a method called masumegaki, painting on a gridded surface by coloring each square individually. In today's digital age, Team Lab found strong affinity between computer-generated pixel art and Jakuchu's painting method. The viewer's actions in front of the screen change the colors of the area they are moving about, turning the squares into fragmented, destabilized bits of white. The more people interact with the work, the more of those foggy traces obstruct the image of the animals, turning everything into abstraction. But the animals come back if people step away from the screen. The message is quite straightforward. Whether good or bad, human actions affect the environment and all creatures in it. And we are part of nature. The wisdom of the past, from Buddhism to Shintoism, is adjoined with the environmental consciousness of the contemporary world in Team Lab's work. Team Lab's founder and leader, Inoko Toshiyuki, said that Team Lab is not interested in making material objects or expanding human brain capacity through technology. They are much more interested and find it very cool to create something that is fluid, that is immaterial, that leads to creation of humans with a new value system that frees them from material obsession and exploitation. Maybe when that is accomplished, we may call it a transformative animal. Thank you very much.
This has been a National Gallery of Art podcast.